from Radio Dreieckland Studios in downtown Freiburg, Germany, and slightly left of center, but well within the statute of limitations. Almost live, this is the True North Show. I'm Dean. Harry has gone on to greener pastures, but fret not, my friends. I've got two special guests in the studio today, Victor and Danny from Malacca Hostel. This is their first single.
Somos coyotes del amor. Somos clientes que no pagan. Somos los hijos de la luna. Somos coyotes del dolor. Somos coyotes del amor. Clientes que no pagan. Somos los hijos de la calle. Somos coyotes de
Coyotes del Amor. That was the first
song I think that you guys released, right? But it's EP. A great video too. I mean, it's a really it's great. How fucking, did you guys shoot that?
This was amazing, man. This was mad, like how much effort and planning and how much time and work we put into this music video. I think we would not do this now again. But it was it was a wild time, and it was like the spirit of the birth of the band, beginning of the band, and all our friends, and you know, like we were playing at Susie Fest. There was like 1,000 people, like people going wild. There was like people were dancing pogo and going completely wild, all holding the coyote on the live show.
Yeah,
and then we were like announcing on the last song, "Hey guys, listen, we're gonna do our first music clip, and we need your support. Please come to Opfinger Lake tomorrow night at 9 p.m. We need many people there. We're shooting a video." And then there was like 100 people coming there, and friends were helping us decorating our friends and making the makeup. And then some people came, made fire shows, and it was really crazy.
And the video is a great video. Look that one up, kids. Here we are in the studio with two of the members of Malacca Hostel. And I think it was your idea, if I'm not mistaken. Is
He's
that
pointing
right?
at Victor.
Yes. I'm going to get you guys to introduce yourselves. get a little bit of the history of the band and stuff like that. But we're not just going to sit here and yak. Okay. Just so you know.
All right.
I have some hard questions for
you. Okay, I see.
So it's going to be yakety yak time.
It's a hard ball.
Damn.
No, we're playing for real, boys. First of all, Victor, Victor is here. And Victor, give us your mini bio. You started the band, right? This is kind of your thing. Didn't you come up with the idea?
Of the name, you mean?
Of the band.
Of the band.
The band.
Actually, it was a thing that really developed in a very natural way. Like it all started in Freiburg in Susie, where I live. And
So you started in Susie?
Yeah. I guess like all this, Freiburg, Susie, it was the base. That was like where many people met for playing. There was a lot of parties. The Susie Cafe, the student place was very hot this time, like a lot of jam sessions and stuff. And in the flat I was living, there was also like always people coming and going. That's actually also the origin of the name Malacca Hostel, because at one moment when we were sitting on a kitchen table and we were realizing that there's friends coming and going each day, we thought like, man, this is a real Malacca Hostel.
Malacca Hostel. So its roots are in Greece, I guess.
Yes.
Sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, the roots are from Greece. And actually, before I came to Freiburg, I used to live on Crete in the Heraklio in a left-scene squad where we used to jam the traditional old Greek anarchist music, Rebetiko. And I think also that name got inspired from that time.
Rembetika?
Rebetiko. That's like the Greek anarchist music. Rebetiko.
Yes. I have a couple of bands that I'm going to talk about on another show, actually, from Canada, which one of the reasons why I was talking about them is that when I heard you guys, you reminded me of them. They're called the Rembetika Hipsters.
The Rembetika Hipsters.
One of the groups that came out of the Plaid-Tongued Devils. Mm-hmm. They were from Calgary, Alberta, Canada. That's right. There's your Canadian content for today, folks. We'll reference them another show. Anyway, so you had a bunch of crazy people coming in and out. You came up with the name Malacca Hostel. And because the band is it like a revolving door too? Are there people coming and going? Okay, let's introduce the fellow that's sitting next to you here now. Because he's new, I mean, newish.
Newish, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm revolving in and hopefully not out, I would say. Hopefully I've established myself somewhat,
yeah.
So my name's Dan and I'm...
Hi, Dan.
Hi. I'm the trumpet player slash French horn. Okay. Trumpeter slash I have the word trombone and sousaphone player in the band.
Okay. Now, I wanted to ask you guys about the instrumentation too. And how long you been playing with the band now?
So I started kind of Fusion 2023. Midway through 2023.
And how did you end up finding these people?
That's a good question. I play trump. I still play on and off with the Hyman Flucht Orchestra.
Okay.
And it's a Balkan band. And the sound guy for one of the evenings was a Holger Gainsbourg, and he was he approached me at the end of the concert, and he was like, "Hey," in like I'll speak in English, but he's speaking to me in German. He's saying something about a Malacca hostel. And I was like, what is this guy talking about? My German isn't great. So I was like, this person called Holger wants me to come to a rehearsal with something called a Malacca hostel. And I remember saving his name as Holger Malacca Hostel in my phone. And nothing came of it for like 3 months. I had no idea what that was about. And it was in my phone. And then one day I got this message from Holger Malacca Hostel. And I was like, it came up, and I couldn't even pretend to understand what that was.
What it was possibly.
What was that reference?
That sounds like how we ended up actually finally doing this interview.
Yeah. Something like Malacca Hostel.
So
yeah.
So you got referred to the band.
Got referred to the band. Yeah.
Met up with the band. Now you played. You said you played trumpet, sousaphone when you're out on the road.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And what
and
else?
Trombone.
Yeah, and trombone. Yeah. Now is it? Am I crazy, or is one of the guys in the band playing a flugelhorn? Is that a flugelhorn? The big bell trumpet? It's like a trumpet, right?
No, no. You're talking about Yoni's. It's a marching trombone. So oh, okay. It's actually
a trombone. This is a trumpet. This is
But it looks like a trumpet.
It's got a bigger bell. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. There is also, I think, Josh. These are the other horn players that are still on and off in the band once in a while.
Okay.
And so Yoni plays, he plays this marching trombone, which looks like a giant trumpet, but actually it's a trombone. Well, actually it's the baby of the euphonium family or something like this, but whatever.
Because it reminded, like I saw it and I thought it was a flugelhorn.
Well, Josh plays a flugelhorn. I play the flugelhorn a little bit. I have a flugelhorn. Flugelhorns aren't that, they're pretty common.
Are they?
But the marching trombone that Yoni plays, like that was the first time I ever saw that. It's a pretty weird instrument.
We had Holger playing the harp, he sometimes plays it in a way that it sounds like an accordion. But it's the small accordion, the mouth accordion.
The key, this weird instrument, you had the keyboard that you blew into. And with the keyboard, you played that a bit too.
We once in the beginning of the band, we had this really old Casio keyboard with the sound, MIDI sounds from the 80s.
Yeah, which beautiful.
Sounds amazing in some way.
I know,
it's
right?
Really, it's, it's
everything old is new again. That's why it's great being old with all you young people. Because everything old is new again. I'm like, yeah, I remember when that shit was new.
I mean, it's also like very difficult to say what time the band really started and what time the jam thing of getting people together and playing some gigs at some parties or organizing concerts for special occasions became a real band. It's very difficult to say. I would say.
Well, I can tell you when it was. Victor, is when you started getting paid to do it. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it could be something like
that. When finally somebody said, "All right, we'll pay you, but you got to be there on Saturday."
Yeah, that could be right. Yeah, I also say to what I refer of the beginning of the band is when we really decided, okay, come on, let's record some tracks, let's work on some songs.
Okay.
Then that's what actually was the birth of Coyotes de l'Amour, of our first EP-ish album. Yeah. Whatever, that was 2014, I would say, or 15. Mm. So with like about 10 years, a bit more than 10 years. So celebrating 10 years.
Well,
of Malacca Hostel.
Are you going to celebrate now? Is there going to be a celebration? Have you got a?
We missed it.
You missed the anniversary.
We missed the anniversary. We couldn't remember the date, so.
Well,
no, we actually were thinking about it. One day when we hear the streets, I'm mad. That old man that once told me, "Oh, young man, life is made for living." He wore rags instead of clothes, no watch or shoes. He shook his hand when we asked for the answer to all the questions we are hunting. And he said, "There's so much more than glitter and gold. We're burning stars to the sun. And if our time runs out, would you be there to sing with me? This life is
made for living. Cause we've got paychecks and fancy cars, high speed lanes and bling bling rings, all these things to get. But how much more we need? We've got the whole world on its knees. Million channels and the unsung blues, million channels to choose, but just one life made for living. Here we go. Time comes rushing in, I look at the stars and think to myself, life's so short, to make the best of the time being given. Be as young as the bird and old as a tree, like the water and the sea, the tides I'll be. Oh young man, these nights are made for dancing.
For living. That was Malacca Hostel. And we'll get back into the studio with our, and yeah, I said, you know, we're going to do a serious interview. We're not just going to sit around and chat. Well, we did kind of just sit around and chat quite a bit. But the boys were talking about how they're handling the business side of it and how they're managing themselves these days. So we'll just get back into that. Here's the continuing story of Malacca Hostel.
We organize most stuff our own, like on ourselves. Like we don't have too much management around, like, and we luckily have a lot of people, some people in the band that are very good with recording and stuff. And so we used to do most work ourselves, but
so
we gonna
self-produced,
like, yeah, like
music so far,
most of it. Yeah, most of it is self-produced. Our second album was mixed external.
Okay, mixed external, like you guys recorded it.
We recorded, actually the second album was
the second album title was
Disco Fatale. Disco Fatale.
Yeah,
we went into the studio, we gave it to someone to mix it, to master it, And the distribution, like the labeling, yeah, for sure, this we don't do our, we can't do our own. Like we had, I think with Disco Fatale, we were on Soulfire Records.
Okay, so you and had they a do all this.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, we must.
Well, yeah, this is the question. I mean, that's the thing now.
Yeah, yeah. I think the first one, the music. First this EP, Curious de l'Amour, we did on some platform called CD Baby, where you really could do it self-dependent. You just put your stuff on there.
Yeah.
And yeah.
What was the level of Coyotes de l'Amour? What was the level of success of that album? Like, did you sell the album? Did it stream a lot? What happened with
it? I would say, like, in digital, like selling the album. Like, I think these times are really gone. Like,
I know,
selling,
right?
Selling discs in the music store and stuff.
It's just.
It's over. It's gone. I mean,
but did you do merch at your shows? Like, did you have discs at your show?
Definitely. That's 80-90% of what we sell. Like, we sell it on the concert. And actually, that's another.
And are you still selling CDs or are you selling like a QR code?
We still sell CDs. We still try to sell CDs.
Yeah.
There's a little anecdote. We were in Core. In Switzerland the other day, and we were playing like Busker festivals, and we were saying
Busker festival?
It was a big Busker festival. So
is it?
Yeah, a street festival.
Street festival.
Damn! Why didn't I hear about that?
It's a nice one. It's very nice. Yeah,
I would have gone. Well, anyway, so you guys were there.
No. So like, just a very short thing about CDs. We were trying to. We were offering, if you give more than 10 franc, you can get a free CD. And the amount of people that gave us like 10 franc or even 20 franc.
Yeah.
And then I was like, take a CD. And they looked at me like, I don't want that. No. Like, don't give me that.
What am I going to do with that?
I told Dan, like,
what
when
the hell
we.
Is that? Are you going to make art with it? What?
Yeah, yeah. Throw it at people's face.
when we played the first time in this one of these festivals in St. Gallen, I tell you, man, we sold them like
2019,
like pretzels on a bakery on Sunday morning.
Really,
like people were, we sold, I don't know, 100 CDs on a festival. Like,
but
on,
nice.
It was crazy.
But even last
and
year,
it changed so much. It changed really so
gradually.
Yeah, gradually that people are less and less getting interested in CDs. It's just like getting more and more difficult to sell these.
Because this is the question, you know. Like we were talking before we came on the air, and I was saying to you about, I just don't know how musicians get their music out, how they get paid, you know, because the way that it works now with streaming, Spotify, and all of the other streaming platforms that there are now, and like we said, just. People aren't buying CDs unless they get them at shows. That was the same thing. Like I was relating to you about my friend in the black metal bands. They sell CDs at the show, but you know, it's still a limited market for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's the way, and it's not about music, but the way that we're realizing is that you have to sort of, and we have friends in a few other bands that the way that they've sort of dealing with this, because the music is, I mean, in a way, music is a way really much more accessible. You can download
obviously.
Malacca Hostel on Bandcamp. You can find us on Spotify. You can stream us wherever you are, anywhere in the world.
Yeah. I ride on my bike. I've got you guys on Spotify.
Exactly. But like, so the crux of the matter is that I essentially we have to like think of other ways to sell our label and stuff, and so we have to look at different things in merch and stuff. So
that's
the equivalent of a CD is not a t-shirt, but it's a hemp bag or like a hat or something like
that.
Well,
you do have some stuff on your web page. I mean, your website. You do have a website. It's not terribly active, I would say. I don't know, but you do have merchandise there. I won't ask you guys to sell it, but it's malaccahostel.com. Go there and find some cool shit.
But yeah, I mean the another alternative is vinyl, and like I think like we
but what is the cost to outlay for pressing your own vinyl now?
Yeah, it's
like you guys, if you're going to distribute yourself, that's taking it on. This is what I'm asking.
Yeah, we were pretty dumb, I would say, because we always like we never made a vinyl. We never did it. We always talk about it, but then because the costs are very high, or I think in one period you had a very long, there was a very long waiting period. You had to wait like for half a year
before
something.
They mastered the thing and
yeah. press it. Yeah. But now we definitely decided to get one for the new album, 26.
Yeah.
Our first vinyl.
New album coming out in 2026, you
new
said?
New album coming out in 26, is it be aware.
2026.
I did mention your merch earlier.
Yeah.
MalagaHostel.com.
I did mention that, but is
there is definitely something coming up to 2026. A new, yeah, new album, new songs. We are working pretty hard on new songs at the moment, and everything's planned already.
I want to ask you about Disco Fatale. Mm-hmm. What's the origin of that song?
You told me before it was you had this idea and then Tatan had this and then you had the two ideas and you're like, what do we do with that?
Yeah, actually it's actually a clash of the different ideas of the different members of the band in that time, like, and I think we had this like this story behind the music, like there was some music like getting this dancey Balkan vibes in a sort of modern way, like a bit clubby, a bit folky.
Yeah, I mean that's the interesting appeal of the music is, like you said, Balkan, but there's voices of klezmer and lots of so many different ethnic musics
Arabic
up.
Scales and
I was thinking of a Turkish song that it reminded me of. Yeah,
I mean it's a music we all, I think, or most of us are very interested to and into it, like as I said before, also like when I was living in Greece, I was very fascinated by the Greek traditional music, which comes like from the Middle East. It's like goes this way. Our other trumpet player, Yoni, he's like, he's also very into Turkish culture. He has a Turkish wife, so he's very into this music. So we are all like somehow fascinated and influenced by this Eastern Balkan Arabic music,
and this somehow brought it together, and it also has
this attitude of dirty ska, or like this what also comes from us, like it shouldn't be too, like we are not a traditional band, we are not a traditional Arabic band, and this is how it should sound like too, like people should hear that it's still Malacca Hostel, even though we use these elements from world music, it's still it's us. It's not that we are playing traditional music. We are doing this sort of modern, dirty clash and bringing all the stuff together and making our own cocktail of it. And this was like Disco Fatale. It was more than Coyote Still More. It was more this really like cocktail of ingredients.
And there was a kind of a Mexican, mariachi.
Kind
of a sound to it too. Okay, let's play Disco Fatale. Mm-hmm.
Lassen Grüße. Get the moving on the dance floor.
Excellent. Okay, that was good. That wasn't the one. Maybe you might have said that one. What's the Paradiese Vögel?
I'm sure I wrote down Paradiese Vögel.
Did you?
Yeah. It's one of my favorite songs.
So okay.
Would have put that one down. Yeah.
Now you said Paradiese Vögel is one of your favorite songs.
Yeah.
You just said that.
I just said that.
Why?
It's not like I didn't. I joined the band and, you know, you sort of get to hear the songs, you get to play the songs.
Yeah.
I mean, apart from the fact that it's just a very, engaging, fun song to dance to. It's also a song about peace. It's an anti-war song and, it's not in a preachy way, but it's a song with a good message and it's just a good vibe all around. And I think, one of the songs that I, from Malacca, enjoy playing the most, but also enjoy in general listening to.
It's great when you have a song that you not only you like to play, but you like to hear it.
Yeah, afterwards,
I mean, yeah. Especially you're not sick of it after recording it. You know?
Yeah, yeah. And it's actually, if you see the effect on the people live, it's definitely one of the hits. One that people really sing along and
Wait. First, we'll talk about this is Paradiese Vögel.
We'll be right back.
Can we take a moment to just look at where you guys are in the next few weeks or even a couple of days? Would you mind if I just... I was looking at your tour schedule. So yeah, maybe for the folks at home.
Yeah.
Where are they going to find the full calendar of your gigs?
The only one they can find is on our homepage, malagahostel.com.
Yeah. Malagahostel.com.
Or on our Instagram page, we release all the dates.
Yeah, and you guys have a Facebook page too, right?
Yeah. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook.
Yeah. Yeah.
And our newsletter. As well, it's really popular.
Yeah, like the newsletter is not bad because if we are on tour, we normally drop a newsletter.
The crowd loves you guys. I just wish that there was more opportunity for you, you know? And I know that it's not the same having them stream your music as it is to see them live. So what do you guys see as the future for Malacca Hostel? Are you going to... focus on recording and releasing music? Is there going to be more of that? Is there going to be a point where you say we're a touring band? And I don't know. Do you guys have day jobs? Does anybody have a day job? Imagine you guys have something that you're helping to pay the bills. Something, yeah?
Yeah. Are we allowed to talk about our day jobs?
We don't have to say where you work. We don't have to say where you work.
I don't know if I'm allowed to tell you. I'm kidding.
No, but you know what I mean, right? Like, it's a point where you can say that the band is all I need.
Yeah.
Because it's obviously, you guys enjoy doing what you're doing. And it's obviously filling, what my question is can we make a bigger space in the market for you? I don't know.
Can you?
I don't know. That's what I'm asking you. What do you think? What do you think? What's the future for Malacca Hostel?
Well, if my boss is listening at any point, I hope they don't take it personally, but I would love to quit my day job. And
we didn't actually
talk. No, we don't talk. We don't talk about that. No. But like, I would love.
And we didn't give your full name on the air.
Yeah, there's an FDA. Like, it's not going to happen. You know?
Yeah. but I'll give the phone number out afterwards.
Good. I think everyone in the band would love to play only in the band and make our full income from the band, because I think everyone in the band is quite inspired.
I would say, yeah.
To do this.
It seems to me, and it's not easy to keep that.
I mean, yeah, most of us in the band, like, we are mainly living by music, and like Malacca Hostel also is like a big part of our income already.
Okay.
Like,
okay, so you are making enough then.
I would say we are living a very poor man's life.
Yeah.
a very simple life. Let's say we live a very simple life, like most of us really. Simple life, and have other things like, perhaps, like teaching music or producing music, like some other things that make it work.
I guess nowadays the thing to do, Victor, is to get yourself a side hustle.
Well, we do have thought about opening an OnlyFans account for the band.
Oh,
yeah. I think that's what the world needs. OnlyFans account.
Yeah.
With the band.
Yeah.
Just doing kinky with acoustic instruments.
Yeah, like Balkan style.
You know? Balkan style. I don't even know what that's going to look like, but we'll probably edit that out in post later.
Okay. Got to cut that one.
No, but I mean, like, I would say what you have done artistically, you should feel that it is a success. I think you can agree that, because you would have stopped after recording one or two.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I definitely agree. I mean, like, there's something that keeps us going. Like, and I don't want to, like, only talk about the side, like, everything is nice and beautiful. Like, we also have to see from the other side that there's very hard times, like, where you... doubting on the whole thing, or where you perhaps get in the moment where the whole thing gets stuck a bit, and you feel like, when is the next step coming? And you know, like, there needs to be more work put into it, a new release, something new to grab attention from the people, to get new festival bookers, to get people. So it is a hard work, but still, like, I see, like, we all still keep in believing in the project, and that's why we're now working again on a new record. Yeah. And
well, I'm glad to hear that you guys are actually like, I was glad to hear that when you said that you know, most of you are able to make a living as an artist. It's a difficult living, but you're making a living and you're enjoying what you're doing, and it means something to you. So the project is going forward because
And I mean, like, it's always like, it depends from what side you look on it or in what direction you look on it. And I think wherever you are, I mean, you can always say like, I'm not happy where, or like, it could be better where it could be. Yeah, like it needs to advance, but you also can from every moment where you are, from every position, you can be also like happy and proud of what you already reached and think, I don't know where we are. I mean, like, it depends. Like, if I mean, we can be, I think, like, always, like, I like the last weeks, I think, wow, what we experience here is such a gift, like, and it's such a great opportunity already. So I would call it a success because we are able to play, and we played all around in Europe and all around Germany on nice festivals where I never dreamt to be playing there. And still on the other side, I think, wow, like, in some moments you think like, wow, okay, we're playing now. Since 4 years, we are like struggling to make a sort of living by what we are doing.
Scrambling from one gig to the next.
Yeah, from one, and we roll 8 hours on the highway and drop out like, whoa, and then sound check. But yeah, it always depends from what side you look at the thing. But yeah, I think the most important thing, like I always say, is like our own shows. Like, that's really the measurement of how good the band is working. How many people are coming to our club shows? Like, festivals are another thing. They are super important. Yeah. But
you're on the bill with all the other bands.
Exactly. Not, and I think we were pretty lucky with our booking, with our agency, with our image. Like, I think we fit into many different kinds of genres, like on punky festival, on world, on reggae, on hippie festivals.
Absolutely.
So that's our fortune, I would say. But yeah, I think the measurement really in the end, what counts after the day, is like if you play your own club tour, and if you see if it's working. If the people really in the different cities in Germany or wherever you play pay a ticket to see you at the show, then you really see, okay, how...
Yeah.
What the reach of the band happened. Is,
yeah,
right?
What's the reach of the
band?
What
the reach of the band is.
And I think, like, the process isn't linear. Like, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't feel like necessarily it's just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. Sometimes you have a big ego hit. I think we played our club show in Basel.
You killed him.
Yeah, we killed it. We killed all 15 people in the audience.
Oh, but, man.
Like, it was really crazy because, you know,
Destroyed the audience.
Basel is, like, so close to Freiburg. And, you know, we did a club show in November at the end. And we had, like, I don't know, 600 people there. And, you know, really had a nice, really nice concert. And then I think it was just a few weeks later, we played in Basel. And we played to, 15 people. And so, or maybe it was 20, but it was like a real like, oh, okay. But I think we're still experimenting with like what works, like how do we reach out? And we're getting into Instagram way more now and all this sort of stuff. But it's like, it's like an adventure, I guess. But I guess we kind of skewed away from the topic of success.
You guys are booked like, year in advance.
Those are club shows. So these are the ones you're going to promote.
But these are next year.
Next year going to be quite big tour.
It's a hectic tour.
Next year. Okay. Kids, if you're still with us, please keep your eyes out and your ears open for Malacca Hostel, because they're going to be out in the world and they're going to probably be quite awesome. So if you're looking for something to do,
I would recommend hiring a bus, filling the bus with 60 people, and then coming to every one of our shows.
Yeah, following along with the band. I think that's probably...
We'll give you slightly reduced tickets.
That sounds like fun.
Let's do it. I think...
We need a groupie bus.
We need a groupie... Well, not a groupie bus, but let's just say a fan club bus.
Yeah, true.
Because the groupies, they have like a limo.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, the groupies are always.
We have a groupie truck.
That's just rude. We're gonna have to edit that out. Sorry. There are no groupie trucks following this band around on the road. Oh yeah, I didn't actually ask you to talk about all of the instrumentation of the band. I know that it's gone through a little bit of changes, but what is it now? What's the instrumentation of the band right now? Take your time.
What's changed a lot is, I brought in the sousaphone for one song, which is a song called "What Are We Fighting For?" And it's going to be in our new album. I can't say much more. And sousaphone is the most sexy of all instruments, as we know.
We could have a conversation on that, but probably not now.
You have something to say?
Saxophone has. Yeah. It has sax in the name.
You're telling me you don't listen to like sousaphone music?
Not a lot. No. I think you know George the sousaphone was Sousa, the guy
George Sousa.
who wrote the Star Spangled Banner.
Yeah. That's some sexy music.
Yeah, that's some damn sexy. Mm. It's just a long question. It's just one long fucking question. Oh, say can you see by the dawn, blah, 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 what so proudly, and is it still there? Yeah. That's stupid.
I didn't know there was sousaphone in that song.
But that's probably when they march it on the road, they have a sousaphone.
Yeah.
Anyway, instruments of the band.
Brass section. Dan is bringing, like the sousaphone stuff. Yeah. One very special important part is like the harp, it gives a very special sound, and a sound that is a very important color for the band, for Malacca Hostel.
Harp?
The harp, yeah, and he plays the harp in a very...
Oh, you mean harmonica.
The mundharmonica.
The mouth harp. Yeah. We have the sousaphone, and that's important.
Yeah.
Apparently. Just a Danny. That's okay.
It's not that important, but it's definitely... It adds. And it's also visually very impressive.
Yeah.
I'd say. I mean, the way I play it, you'd have to hope that it's visually impressive at least.
Ah, okay. Not to blow your own horn. Did you see what I did there? That was a pun.
It was good. Yeah.
Sorry. Okay, so who's playing the harmonica?
Holger. Holger's playing the harmonica, the guy who met Dan.
Right.
Holger Malaska.
The guy who said, you should come and see this band.
Exactly. Yeah. So there's actually this is actually like the melody section. Like you have the harmonica and the trumpet and the sousaphone stuff and trombone. And then, you have the classical guitar, bass, and drums. Yeah.
Rock.
And the guitar, bass, and drums. Yeah, and the guitar is like playing rhythm and lead guitar, like also with
effects.
It sounds a bit more, gets this like Arabic scales and Arabic, sounds a bit like a sus.
Are you playing the guitar?
Yeah.
Like full time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes he plays the acoustic guitar as well.
Well, that's still a guitar.
It is, yeah.
Jeez, give him a break, man.
He's diversifying. Come on. He plays the zuki as well.
He plays the guitar and the acoustic guitar.
I play both kinds of guitar.
I play country and western. That's right.
That's true. With left and right hand.
Yeah. Really? Can you play both ways? Like, seriously, can you play left hand, right hand?
No.
That'd be cool, though, if you could.
That'd be
especially if you did it in a show. That would be cool. Yeah. So, you know what I wanted to ask you? A little bit more about the money monetization thing. Are you the distributor that put it on Spotify? Or is there a distributor that put your music on Spotify for you, like a record label or something like that? And do they get all the money?
Did you catch that pause? Yeah, I really have to be honest. I have no fucking idea. I have no fucking idea where the money goes to.
I know the answer to the question to that. So I don't know if you know, but I think maybe last year or the year before, Spotify said that if the band is not having more than a million listens per month, then there is no money given to...
No, that's not true. This is complete bullshit.
Yeah?
Conspiracy theories.
The thing is,
that stuff is all out there, right?
Something like this, but not 1 million. It's like if you not get like more than 1,000 streams or something a month, then you get nothing from it. We are definitely over the limit.
Making cash.
Yeah, I know, because making I know... Bank. The only thing I know is like we get something from the first record because this we did the distribution our own. So I know from there it's going straight into the account. But the other records we did with some contribution label, whatever, and I have no idea. Probably they get it and they are supposed to pay us something, but
they're not.
I don't know.
Do you want me
I
to talk know. To them?
Yeah, please.
You know, I do that kind of thing, hey?
Shit, yeah,
a little bit on the side.
Yeah. Shit, yeah,
do we know who the
my side hustle.
That we can
yeah, man, because Made for Living just hit the 300,000, so there should be some.
300,000. You had 300,000 streams?
Yeah. And actually, there should be something, but I have no fucking idea.
You should definitely be looking into that.
But I mean, at the end of the day, what's important is that in talking about monetary support for your band, it's not happening from streaming websites. It's not happening from selling CDs.
This is the reality of the new world, right?
It's happening from going and checking out live concerts. So yeah. if you enjoy a band, go see them. Go see them live, because that's the only way that artists are making money these days.
Exactly. So especially below that upper echelon, right?
Yeah. You can actually also download our tracks for a small fee on Bandcamp. I highly recommend Bandcamp.
Once at Bandcamp?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Tracks.
I appreciate you guys coming in, and good luck to you this summer.
Thanks, Dean.
With the tours, I hope to.
Thanks for the invitation.
Maybe get a ticket to one of your shows or something in the near future sometime.
We could make that happen.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Anyways, thanks a lot. What song should we close out the show with? What song is your song that you want to send out the show with?
That you haven't played yet?
Yeah.
Musik?
You played Made for Living?
Maybe.
Lass mich nicht im Regen stehen. Übergieß mich mit Tränen, wenn wir gehen und uns vielleicht nie wiedersehen. Yeah, yeah. Man sieht sich immer zweimal, doch einen Tag wie heute, den gibt's nur einmal. Besser als keinmal. Breite deine Flügel aus, nimm mich mit dir hoch hinaus in deine Welt. So schön und fremd. Heute wird ein guter Tag, dieser Zug fährt ab. Bon voyage, bon voyage. Nous sommes prêts pour le départ. Je me souviens, j'oublie, comme les jours et les nuits. Unser Tanz am Rand der Zeit. Bon voyage, nimm die Zügel in die Hand. Komm, wir reiten über den Rand. Hoffnungsvoll verloren, nur wer fällt, lernt gehen, yeah, yeah. Und ich ging ohne deinen Segen, um diese Welt zu verstehen. Bräuchte ich sieben Leben, würde alles gehen. Kein Tag wäre wie der andere, und das Leben eine Fahrt. Und in deine Welt, mit meiner Welt, zusammenknallt wie Kometen. Auf ihrem Flug durchs All. Bon voyage, bon voyage. Nous sommes prêts pour le départ. Je me souviens, j'oublie, comme les jours et les nuits. Unser Tanz am Rand der Zeit. Bon voyage. Kein Mann.
Heute war ein schöner Tag, dieser Zug fährt ab, bon voyage.
Malacca Hostel, bon voyage. Ciao for now, see you next month.